Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my web-clinging friend, Frank. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you, buddy?
Very good. What are you drinking today?
I am enjoying, I don't think I've had this this entire summer, but one of my summer standards is the good old Narragansett Del Shandy.
Oh my goodness, Frank, I'm drinking the same thing. It's almost like it was in the same refrigerator.
Almost. Like that happened.
Almost. So, Frank, I alluded to the fact that you are a web clinger.
I do sling and cling.
You sling, you swing, and you cling.
That's true.
What a great amount of stuff you are. So what's it like being Spider-Man?
It's I'm not Spider-Man. I was just walking on the ceiling.
You're the Spider-Man.
No,
you know.
No, there's no the.
I didn't drop my Lego Death Star for nothing.
3,000 pieces just gone.
Oh my goodness. So we both saw Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes, we did.
Yes. What did you, just off the bat, what did you think of it?
I liked it. I wasn't bananas for it, but I liked it a whole lot.
You weren't bananas for it. That's interesting. I liked it a lot. I was also not bananas for it.
Yeah, really?
I think because we've seen so many Spider-Man movies.
God, have we.
Maybe it just like, it wasn't offering anything maybe totally new, and maybe that was part of it.
Yeah.
It's possible that was part of it. I'm not exactly sure why. Don't get me wrong. I liked it a lot. It was a great movie. I enjoyed the cast. I enjoyed the story, the music, like all of it. It didn't blow me away. And that's probably because we're so used to the Marvel formula now, and all of those movies are going to be—they're all going to be good.
They're all going to be good. I'm not surprised that this was a good Marvel movie. I'm surprised that it was a good Sony movie.
Oh, you know, it's funny because so you know the beginning of the movie. So it starts with the Sony Columbia, thing, and then it does the little the tag at the beginning, and then it moves to the Marvel Studios logo.
Yes.
And so I turned to Palmer, who I started with, I turned to him and I was like, that intro part was the part made by Sony. The rest of the movie is made by Marvel.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Kevin Feige was like, fine, you guys can make a 5-minute movie. You can make a short subject.
We'll handle the rest. Yeah. Well, you can set it up and then we'll take it from here.
We'll pick up the ball from there. That's really funny. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, no, I liked it. I would say I liked it better than either of the Andrew Garfield Amazing Spider-Man films.
Yep, me too.
I
actually really like the first Andrew Garfield Spider-Man film.
Yeah,
that one spent so much time doing an origin story again that I like this one more.
Yeah, you've always been a bigger fan of that one than I was. And I liked this one more than either of those. Certainly better than the second one. And I would put it right below, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2, then 1, then this.
Okay, I put it about on par with Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man.
Okay,
but it's not better than the second one.
Totally agree there. Totally agree. It's definitely not better than the second.
I think that Spider-Man 2 has a charm that mm-hmm. for whatever reason, it seems almost impossible to regain.
It's so true. It's so true.
Because this movie has a lot of charm.
Tons of charm.
It has it in spades, but there's something about that second movie that I can't quite figure out exactly. Maybe it's, I don't know, because it's not even the Parker Luck or the Spider-Man stuff combined. I just don't know. Actually, I actually don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it, but I like this movie. I liked that this movie was not about the city's going to get destroyed and Spider-Man's got to save it. It was actually, yes, at its core, Spider-Man's about helping the little guy. And at the end of the day, he was stopping just a bunch of robbers, you know, high tech robbers who are robbing high tech stuff, but robbers nonetheless.
Yes, exactly.
And I like that quite a bit. It's also continued the trend of sympathetic Spider-Man villains.
Yes, that's right.
Which I like and I don't like at the same time. Like, I don't need all of my villains to be sympathetic, but you know, like when at the beginning of the movie, when Adrian Toomes is like, you know, I bought new trucks for this. I, you know, like I got a family, and Damage Control is like, yeah, that's whatever. We're sorry, but not sorry. I was like, yeah, well, I don't really blame him. And they weren't killing anybody either. And even like the high tech, like you never see the worst thing that the weapons actually do. The worst thing you actually see them do is destroy a deli.
True. True.
Which is, I'm sure, covered by insurance.
Sure. Still sucks for the small business owner whose business is up in flames. But yes, I hear what you're saying. It's not like they weren't knocking down buildings. And even the ferry, you know, the destruction of on the ferry really was more Peter's fault. Like, they weren't there to cause destruction. They were there to negotiate, right, their arms deal, which, you know, granted was going to lead to the deaths or at least harming of people when, you know, when those weapons fell in the wrong hands.
Right.
But they,
exactly,
weren't there to be like, "Mwahaha, Spider-Man, we are here to destroy this ferry." You know, like, no, like he was his, it was his clumsiness and his sort of headstrong nature that made that happen, because he thought he could handle it when he couldn't.
Right. Well, that's always part of Spider-Man. Right. Like, especially when he's young, like jumping in and going, "Oh, actually, I screwed up. That was my bad."
Right.
But you know, with the FBI being there, like, and it was, you know, they were ready for them. It probably would have ended in some kind of weapons altercation anyway.
Yeah, that's probably
so. You
true.
Know, Spider-Man or being there or not being there, it was probably better in the end that he was there, because he was able to, in some ways, save the boat. Even if that turned into Tony getting suspicious and flying over there and saving the boat himself.
Sure.
I think even though it was kind of Peter's fault that the boat split apart, it probably, something bad would have happened either way.
I'll agree with that. Yeah.
This movie also did the other classic Spider-Man must remove his mask in the third act to,
yes,
fight the villain thing.
always.
Also, the villain must learn who he is at the climax.
Correct.
And so maybe that's actually what this film, like, just feels a little samey, is that it basically followed the first movie. It followed the map of the first movie.
More or less, except for the origin story pieces, because that part was taken care of before, which I appreciated, by the way. I was really glad
we
didn't have to sit through, not that it's terrible to have to sit through Spider-Man's origin story, but it's like, we all know it. Like, Radioactive Spider, you know, let's move on. Let's get going. Let's get into the meat of it. And I really appreciate that, because we already had his appearance in Civil War, that we're able to just sort of like, let's just hit the ground running. We know who he is. We know his deal. You know,
right. And I think there's enough information there from Ned to,
yeah,
kind of to give you that, you know, so you're bit by a spider. Can the spider bite me?
Right. Right.
You know, it's like, the spider's dead.
Spider's Ned. Dead. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd be interested to watch it actually with somebody who doesn't know Spider-Man's origin, yeah, and see if you could follow along, because the idea was that most people know it and other people will be able to catch up.
Sure.
So I'll be curious to see if that's actually true.
Right.
Or if people could catch up without knowing. But most people kind of go, well, it doesn't matter. You know,
right,
people,
right,
people watch The Dark Knight without watching Batman Begins, and nobody was like,
it's fine,
why is Batman Batman? Doesn't,
right,
doesn't matter. They just are. Well, I mean, it does matter, but you know, it doesn't at the same time.
Not
you can
really
still enjoy the movie and not know the origin.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of, the Vulture and his suit and the Tinkerer and the Shocker and the Scorpion? We got a Matt Gargan is in there. So what did you think of all that?
So I, you know, this was sort of a first exposure to Vulture for me.
Okay.
Never read a Vulture story. And never encountered him in any of the cartoons that I watched as a kid or anything like that. So it was a first for me. And I was struck by the sympathetic nature of this villain. And I was kind of wondering if that's how he's always portrayed or if that was a choice they made for this film.
Generally not. He's usually just a robber.
Okay.
And at one point he finds his thing and he becomes young again and he gets a higher tech suit or whatever, but generally he's just an older man who robs stuff. Sometimes he's screwed over by Oscorp or something like that. Depends on the story.
I really liked the way that they tied in the Avengers, the first Avengers film, and you know that his crew was in there cleaning up Grand Central.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, dealing with all the Chitauri tech and all of that. I thought that was a really, really clever way of weaving in the existing stories from the MCU.
I agree. It had a few of those that I actually really appreciated. Upgrades from like Avengers Tower to up north, like what happened and like we're selling it and this is what's happening to all the stuff. I liked that. Pepper coming back and
yes,
like, we get that was probably one of my favorite parts of the film. But
me too,
just
actually.
Yeah, even that tiny restoration of like, oh, they're together again and things are going really well. Just, I liked that slightly more optimistic tone that Civil War kind of stamped down a little bit, because Civil War is not optimistic really in any way.
No, it's not a happy movie.
No, it's not. It's not supposed to be. It would be weird
exactly.
if it was.
Exactly.
But I like that things are kind of looking up. In some ways, this movie redeems Tony from Civil War just a little bit. Just a tiny bit. Like, he's growing and being back with Pepper and all that stuff. I think him kind of becoming this father figure for Peter, even recognizing that he's his father figure, like being like, oh, I sound just like my dad, you know, like that's huge. And but it's still not the focus of the story. And I appreciated that.
I know. I loved that. I loved when he was like, you know, when he called Peter and he was like, you know, my dad never gave me validation, so I'm trying to break the cycle. Like, hey, listen to me when I'm giving you compliments, like all that kind of stuff.
That was good.
That was good. That was really good. And then from that going into, oh God, it sounds just like my dad, made it even more impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Because him being like, I don't want to be like my dad, and then being like, oh God, I sound like my dad. Tony had his little arc. Tony had his little story there of like trying to be a good, you know, mentor
right.
to Peter and that it's not easy for him.
It was good. Well, even like the way he mentors him, like, because Tony only really shows up, he's in it four times, right?
Yes.
He's at the beginning when he drops him off, and then he saves him from the water when he's not actually there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Peter says, you know, the third time is the boat, and he says, you know, if you really cared, you'd actually be here, and he steps out of the armor, which I liked. I was a little upset the trailer ruined that moment. Because I think it would have been much better if he actually stepped out of the suit and he went, oh, he's cool, he's there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then at the end with Avengers headquarters. But in between all those times, really, he becomes a slightly better mentor every time. Because the first one, no hugs, we're not there yet. You know, get out of the car. And then I'm not actually going to show up. I'm going to call you. Or I'm going to send my suit, and then I'm actually going to be there, but I'm going to be mad, and then I'm going to come and talk to you like an equal at the end, which I really liked. So I think the movie makes it seem like he's going to be in it much more than he really is. I think there was more happy in it than Tony.
I was surprised at how much happy we got in this movie.
Me too. Me too. I liked it too, because I liked the Fav.
Me too. Me too. That was actually, I mean, that's the most he's done of this role. You know, and
pretty,
you know,
much, yeah.
Every appearance, it's the most dialogue he's had and the most sort of involvement in the plot. Because up till now, he's only been in the Iron Man films, right? Did he make maybe a cameo in any of the others? Maybe. I can't think of it right now, but I assume he must have at some point, even if just like in the background or something.
He
behind
might.
Tony.
He might be in Ultron, but I can't remember.
Right.
He's definitely not in. He's definitely not in the first Avengers.
No, he's not.
I think it's just the Iron Man films.
And I think maybe, so.
And maybe Ultron, but I can't. I don't think so. Because even Happy has a little bit of an arc. The way that he learns to deal with Peter and everything like that. It's good. Yeah, it's really good.
It is. I liked it a lot. I was glad. You know, he's usually just sort of the comic relief. That's just sort of his, like, what? Yeah, I don't care. Whatever. Like, mm-hmm. That's sort of Favreau's, like, thing that he does. Is like, what? I don't know what's going on. Who are you? What's what? I don't, like, that's, like, his character that he's so good at doing. Mm-hmm. And that was always just sort of, like, Happy's role was to be that joke in the middle of things. But, you know, here he actually was sort of a mentor to Peter in a way, in sort of his ignoring him way. Was sort of a mentor, and I really liked seeing him have more of a role and have more impact on Peter that way. I wanted to ask you, what did you feel like there were any pacing issues or anything that you sort of any place where the pacing didn't quite feel right to me? Because I did get a little bit of a sense. In Act One, in particular, I felt like it was very fast-paced.
Yep. It's a good question. Actually, I think it might be the first act that I didn't care for the pacing, but then it kind of settled into a different rhythm as the film went on.
Right.
Maybe after, once Ned finds out, actually, I think that's kind of when it settles into, no, maybe... After the party, I think that's when it settles into kind of a different. That's when it settles into a different rhythm.
That feels about right for me.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the movie maybe could have been 15 minutes shorter. But I kind of enjoyed the moments that it gave us to breathe at the same time. I'll consider this a breathe moment, like when he gets trapped in the damage control facility.
Yeah.
And he's talking and he's learning and he's talking to Karen and he's like, how long have I been here? 37 minutes. I got to get out of here. Those moments are like my favorite type of moments from Spider-Man comics. And so I guess the mismatched pacing, I actually kind of enjoyed that way.
See, I enjoyed that very much, that sequence where he's stuck in the vault. I liked that. There were a lot of montages. Like mm-hmm. there were, you know,
it's very 80s.
Very 80s.
Yeah, it's very 80s.
Very, honestly, it's very Spider-Man. Like it's very Spider-Man to have him, you know, running all over and like try and like typically you would see him like successfully like in the first Sam Raimi film that we covered a couple, you know, recently.
Yep.
You see all the different things, you know, he stinks and I don't like him and all that stuff. And you see him mm-hmm. running around and all the saves that he makes. But I love that it's like in this version that it was just him failing left and right. Like the guy breaking into his own car. And all the neighbors yelling down at him like, hey, well, I'm trying to sleep here. Like all this kind of stuff was.
Yep.
That was great. I liked that montage. I felt like. When was it? There was one montage that I felt like was sort of could have done without this one. I think it was before he fully activated the suit. It was like an extra montage after. I think it was after that one that I just mentioned with like where he's like messing up left and right. And there's another one where he's just sort of like running around and it's sort of like nothing's really happening.
I honestly don't remember. To be honest. Because I honestly don't remember, so okay, I have to be honest.
Yeah. There you mm-hmm. go. But anyway, I felt like that was maybe a little overdone, but I did really really enjoy. I felt like they captured sort of the spirit of like he's a teenager with problems who's like bad at his job at first. I felt like they did a really good job with that, and I really appreciated that.
Yep, I absolutely agree. I even like that. Speaking of bad at his job, I like when he and Ned are walking down the school hallway. And they're like, so you do a thing for the internship, and they give you a gold coin.
Yeah.
And Ned's like, I don't know how jobs work.
I don't know how jobs work.
that's exactly how jobs work, Ned. I actually really liked the scene in the deli
Oh, yeah.
Like, here's the can, you know, like, that's $10. No, it's only $5, like $10 for the comment.
Right.
It felt authentic to me.
Yes.
But Peter is not like, you can actually, it's okay to like Peter. I enjoyed that. I also, this is still off topic, I really enjoyed this interpretation of Flash Thompson.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. This was a very different Flash. I mean, he was still kind of a bully.
He was definitely a bully.
Right, but not in the sense where, like, Flash Thompson's usually, like, the tough kid who's, like, a jock, right. You know, like a quarterback, mm-hmm. who's also a bully. But this is a very different, like, he was academic. He was on the decathlon. Like, he was, you know, also a DJ. Like, this is a very different take, and it was a modern take, and I liked it. I think that can be said for most of the high school kids.
Agreed. He was an authentic bully, I think,
yeah.
In comparison to, like, say, the Flash Thompson of Sam Raimi's movies.
Right.
Like, that's not, it does exist to an extent, but not really the way that this exists.
Yeah. That was a very comic booky, you know, one dimensional take of, like, oh, I'm a meathead and I'm a bully. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, you know, and where this is more like a kid you'd see in school for real.
Agreed. I also, I really liked, are you actually friends with Peter Parker? Because traditionally in the comics, Flash, like, has, like, he loves Spider-Man, but hates Peter.
Right.
So I kind of liked this little, him discovering Peter kind of thing.
Yes.
I liked that a lot. So okay, so let's talk about some Easter eggs.
Okay.
What did you discover? Did you know of any?
Easter eggs. I mean, other than, like, the post-credit sequences,
we'll get to the post-credit sequences. So there are a couple that I noticed.
Okay. Looking for things like, oh, Ditko Boulevard or things like that, but I didn't catch anything quite like that.
Okay. I noticed a few.
Okay. Hit me.
Okay. So one that you heard the Spider-Man 60s theme over
yes,
the Marvel
that's true.
Logo.
That's true.
That was fun. Matt Gargan with the scorpion on his neck, I think, was another one. So do you know who Matt Gargan is?
No.
Oh, okay. So in Vulture's crew, there's a couple of different Spider-Man villains already. The guy who makes all the stuff is the Tinkerer,
which makes sense.
Spider-Man villain. Shocker is obviously one.
Shocker, yeah.
They even call him Shocker.
No, I was,
you're,
yeah, that
you're
one,
Shocker
yeah.
now.
Right.
His name is traditionally Herman. I was really kind of hoping we'd get some Herman jokes because that's a big part of Ultimate Spider-Man, but next time. And Matt Gargan, who was in the crew, he's the guy at one of the post-credit scenes.
Yes.
He's the Scorpion.
Mm-hmm. I did catch the Scorpion, like, tattoo and on his face.
Yeah, okay.
Neck.
Because they seem to be moving towards a Sinister Six based
right.
on that post-credit scene.
Gotcha.
You know, I got some friends who've got some problems with him, blah, blah, blah. There's a Miles Morales reference. Did you get that?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So, Donald Glover's character.
Yeah.
Alan, the guy who tried to buy the stuff out of the van.
Yeah.
And when he says, you know, they're like, we got some climbers or whatever it is. And he goes, oh, okay. Alan Davis is a character called the Prowler.
Oh,
okay. And the Prowler is the uncle of Miles Morales.
And he did say, I have
a nephew
who lives
in that
neighborhood.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. That's the really subtle, Miles Morales reference. So there you go. People,
that's
if
cool.
you didn't catch that.
Plus, just the mere fact that Donald Glover was in this film, and, you know, was it like 5 years ago or so, the internet was campaigning for him to be Miles Morales in a Spider-Man movie.
And now he's Miles' uncle.
And now he's Miles' uncle. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yep. I liked that a lot. The last one, which this is actually my favorite one. Okay. So the principal in this film. Okay.
Okay.
That's an actor named Kenneth Troy. Okay.
Yeah, I recognize him. I've seen him in something.
That's because you saw him in Captain America, the First Avenger. He played Jim Jim Morita. He was part of the Howling Commandos.
And
in his office, when Peter's in there, in the top right corner, that's his grandfather.
Oh, that's so cool.
His grandfather was in the Howling Commandos with Captain America, and now the same actor is playing his grandson in Spider-Man Homecoming.
That's so freaking cool. I love that.
Yeah, I loved it. That was my favorite of any of the little Easter eggs.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there were more that I can't think of right now. Some of them weren't really Easter eggs. There's stuff that, like, I loved the series of Captain America videos.
So good.
I loved when he's like, "You're gym teacher," and gestures, and Hannibal Burgess is sitting on the wrong side.
Yes.
Yeah. This guy's like a war criminal now or something, but I gotta show you these.
It's a state law. Anyway, watch. Yeah.
It was actually really subtle in this film that I liked when they're actually doing the physical fitness challenge thing and Peter's doing all the crunches and the coach says, "Nice job, Parker," and you see him slow down.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I'm so glad you caught that too. Yes.
Yeah. That was cool. I liked all because Peter can't be too good at that stuff.
Right. If he's standing out, he's doing too much. So he just decides to like do less.
Right. Right, 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 right. Yeah, I really, what did you think of Aunt May in this?
She was great. I love Marissa Tomei. I could have used a little more of her, to be honest.
I could have too, actually. Yeah, I agree.
I could have used some more. I was surprised but not upset that we didn't really hear a lot about Uncle Ben.
They allude to it, right. You know, all the stuff that she's gone through, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
But I'm fine with not even mentioning it, really.
I'm good with that. As much as we can all appreciate Uncle Ben's death being the event that kind of sparks a lot of Peter, inspires Peter in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that not being part of the story or not being a major theme of this story that's sort of put out there in your face. I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been done. It's been done. I didn't need to see another Uncle Ben die, and I didn't really need to hear it talked about at length. I think the little reference to it right there, if she's been going through a lot, is perfectly adequate.
Okay. I remembered another Easter egg.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, this is kind of deep. So Peter has his own AI in the suit, right? And he's like, "I'll call you Liz." No, that's weird. "I'll call you Karen," right? And so he's got Karen. Karen is voiced by Jennifer Connelly.
Oh!
Who is married to Paul Bettany, who played Jarvis and now the Vision. Mm-hmm. So the married couple in real life is also the AIs.
That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't the voice of Friday also, was she?
She's not the voice of Friday. Okay. No. I'm not sure who is, actually.
I can't remember. Actually, come to think of it, wasn't Friday British?
Friday is Scottish.
Scottish. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So never mind. Scratch that. But that's really, really cool. I love that. I love that connection.
Yeah. What do you think about Peter turning down Tony's offer at the end of the film?
I thought it was the right thing to do. Side note, I thought that new suit that Tony offered him was hideous. And I hated it. And I was like, "Oh no, I don't want like this to be his new suit going forward." And when he walked away from it, I was like, "Okay, is he going to like?" When he turned around and he was like, "This is a test, right?" I thought he was going to be like, "Can I keep the suit though?" Like I was expecting, expecting that.
I was actually expecting the suit to disappear, like it was a hologram.
Oh, like yes, this was a test. Poof, it's gone. Mm-hmm. No,
I actually liked the suit. I think it could have used some tweaks, but I actually did like it. I wouldn't want it as the regular costume though.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't either. It was like at like an 11 and it needed to be at like a 7. It was like doing too much.
I agree.
I liked that he chose not to do it because that's, you know, he learned his lesson to like enjoy being a kid, like and not to take on bite off more than he can chew. Mm-hmm. And that there is value in patience and in learning.
As the post credit sting tells us, there is value in patience.
Absolutely.
But I think it's the film is also making a point about oddly, staying in school.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
You know, it's like you don't want to be a high, you know, Ned says you don't want to be a high school dropout.
Yeah, and the guy at the deli told him the same thing.
Right. And but I told the thing, I don't think he, I still think he can be a member of the Avengers and still go to high school. That's the only thing that I was kind of like, well, like you're in Avengers Infinity War. So technically, I guess you're still going to be an Avenger. You're just not going to live in Avengers Mansion or do all the missions. But you're still going to, like, when there's a huge thing, they're still going to have you go.
Yeah, he'll be like an auxiliary member. You know, he'll be like,
yes,
they'll call him in when they need him. You know, but he, or like an adjunct.
Right.
But yeah, he, I guess you're right. He could have like accepted the offer to be an Avenger, but, you know, but do make arrangements or whatever. But I think there, I really think there is something important about, you know, all he wanted 3/4 of the movie was, I want to be an Avenger. I want to be part of the team. I want, you know, take off the training wheels protocol, you know, all this kind of stuff. He just wanted to be a full blown member. And by the end of it, I think he learned, like, you know what? Like even Ned said, like, oh, they're treating me like a kid. And Ned's like, it's because you are a kid. And I think he learned, like, it's okay for that period of time where he was going to homecoming and he was just going to be a normal kid for like 5 seconds, you know, before he realized who Toomes was in relation to Liz. You know, for that moment, he was like the happiest he had been. We'd seen him all movie. You know, he was mm-hmm. he was happy because he was just like, he was just being a 15-year-old and doing what those yep. kids are supposed to do. And I think he went way too far to one way of like, I just want to be Spider-Man and drop out of school and not go to class and skip the Spanish quiz and all this kind of stuff. And then he went the other way where he was like, now I'm just a normal kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that he can be in the middle and do both. Like, he can be Spider-Man and help people and stop the bank robbers and all that kind of stuff while still going to school. Like, he found the balance. So I think it was really important for him to say, like, I don't need to be what I thought I wanted. I wanted to be a full-blown member of the Avengers. I don't need that. I can be Spider-Man. I found what being Spider-Man means for me, and I can be a hero in my own way without having to go full to either side. I found the middle ground.
Great point. I'm 100% on board with that. Very good. You changed my mind. A couple things before we wrap up. Did you like the Liz Vulture twist?
I did not see it coming, and I felt so stupid the second that it happened. I was like, of course, her parents were out of town, and like, of course, and like, oh, all this, there were signs there, and mm-hmm. but they did it in a good way where when I rewatch it, I will see all the signs, and I'll be like, oh, of course, they were putting it there, but I did not see it coming. I liked that twist very much.
I agree. I actually expected her dad, I mean, Zendaya to be his daughter. Michelle MJ, which we'll
yep.
get to.
Yes.
That's what I was expecting. And so because Liz is a Spider-Man character, Liz Allen is a traditional Spider-Man character, but they never call her Liz Allen.
No.
They just call her Liz. And everyone just assumed it was Liz Allen.
Which was a great little bit of misdirection.
Yep. Very good. I'm 100% on board for it. What did you think of Zendaya being Mary Jane?
So I expected. I expected her to have a bigger part in the film. I expected her to be a little bit more. I expected her to be like the love interest. Because
I think she has a crush on him.
Oh yeah. She does. I for sure she does. But I expected it to be that he was crushing on her as well, and that she would be the, you know, she'd be like the object of his affection. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was interesting that really they use her to set up her character for the next film.
Yeah. Do you think it's weird that they, well, it's not really Mary Jane, right?
Because
her name is Michelle.
Michelle. She goes by MJ, but she's not Mary Jane.
Right. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah. That was a little weird. That felt a little reminiscent of like a Smallville reference when they went with that the finale of season 8, I think it was, where like Jimmy Olsen wasn't actually Jimmy Olsen the whole time.
Oh, totally.
Bartholomew James Olsen.
But now it's up to you, other Jimmy Olsen, to be a photographer because right. your older brother was. So whatever plans you have in the future, too bad. You have to be a photographer now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it felt like that where they were like, you know, they totally were like, ba-boom, like double twist. She's actually, you had heard she was MJ. She's MJ, but we never said she was Mary Jane.
Yeah. I don't, that's oddly dumb. Like, why have two MJs? Or why not? Or just call her Mary Jane. Why call her Michelle?
I think it's because they... Are there two MJs? Does Mary Jane exist in this? I don't think she does.
But, like, if she's supposed to be Mary Jane, if she's supposed to be MJ, why change her name to Michelle? Just have her be Mary Jane.
That's the thing. I don't think she's actually that same character. She's a very, very different character. I think they just decided to keep the initials as a wink and a nod, but she's not the same character. She's not Mary Jane Watson. She just happens to have the initials MJ. Just like you had Ginny Olsen in Man of Steel.
Sure.
She's not Jimmy Olsen. They just like kept the name, a similar name, just as like, hey, get it? Like it's a reference.
Yeah. I don't like it. That's a weird reference.
I don't like it either, but I understand it. I understand. I see what you did.
I mean, if she's actually the real MJ, great. That's fine. Kids are different in high school than kids are different in high school than they become later on. So but you can kind of see the seeds of like she dresses well and she's an artist. So maybe she'll go into clothing or whatever. And because MJ's had a slew of different careers,
everything from model to nightclub owner to everything else. Yeah, I don't think it's the owner. Same.
Yeah, you don't think it's the same? That's
right. I don't think it's the same. No.
Okay. Okay. I think that about. What do you think of the music? Michael Giacchino's music.
I loved it. It was very quintessential Giacchino. It sounded there were some huge similarities to like his Star Trek score and
his Doctor Strange score.
I didn't notice that. Okay, I'm honestly not super familiar with the Doctor Strange score. Mm-hmm. I only saw the movie once and I hadn't really listened to the score, so that's interesting. But not surprising. He has a very distinctive sound. Did you notice? I felt like David W. Collins from Star Wars Oxygen, a podcast you and I both enjoy. Did you notice that the first couple of notes of his theme are taken from the old Spider-Man?
Yes,
theme?
I did.
Spider-Man.
Yes, I absolutely did notice that.
I was like, nice. I see what you're doing, and I really dig it. I really like it. I'm for sure going to listen to that soundtrack, that score.
It's good. He does the John Williams classic, and the is the leitmotif, and you can hear it almost in every single piece of music throughout. Yeah. And that's why we remember it, and that's why I like it.
And it is, you know, it's memorable. It's good. He did at one point use the Alan Silvestri Avengers.
Yes, when they go up to Avengers Tower, Avengers Tower, Avengers headquarters.
HQ. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. I liked that a lot. But I loved the music. I enjoyed it. It is a little derivative of Giacchino's own stuff, you know, and it was getting to be a little, I feel like, okay, now I've almost come full circle where like if I didn't know this is Michael Giacchino, I would have guessed it was.
Oh, sure.
That's not really a complaint.
You can usually guess like, oh, this is definitely John Williams, or this is definitely Hans Zimmer. You know,
sure,
they should have styles.
I like that they have styles. Like the most memorable composers, the ones you just named, are memorable because they have distinct styles.
Agreed. Yeah.
So
okay, good stuff. Well,
good stuff.
You can rate and review us on iTunes and any other places that podcast can be found. You can email us or tweet us or Facebook us at Beer with Geeks. You can head over to our Patreon page and give us some money, please, to keep the lights on. Just kidding. We have jobs, but money to run the shows would be nice too. And there are tiers all the way down on there for different rewards for different monthly subscriptions. You can also find other shows under the Thought Bubble Audio banner. You can find this show, Beer with Geeks. You can find The Marketers Next Door. You can find Supergirl TV Talk, or you can find Academy Rewind, all available to you through Thought Bubble Audio.
Very good. Very good. All right, my friend, this has been a lot of fun. It's been fun slinging and swinging and clinging to my webs, but I think it's time that we say goodbye.
Indeed. So until next time, cheers.